السلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to reflect on one thing. That is, what is the difference between a mistake and a crime? What is the difference between a mistake and a crime? The first difference between a mistake and a crime, or the most important difference between a mistake and a crime, is that a mistake is forgivable, whereas a crime is culpable. It is punishable. A mistake is forgivable because a mistake is done in a state of lack of knowledge. I do not know something is wrong, I did it. Or a mistake is done by mistake, meaning that it is not done deliberately and I can prove that it happened accidentally. Whereas a crime is the same action, exactly the same action, with exactly the same consequences, but it was done with knowledge. It was done knowing that it is wrong. I'll give you a few examples to illustrate that. Supposing your father is sitting and you get up and you are walking in a hurry and you kick your father. Right? You are in a hurry, you are going and your foot touches your father. So what do? You say sorry. What will he do? He will forgive you. He says, okay. At the most, he might tell you, you know, walk thoughtfully. I mean, don't just walk like this. Be thoughtful or something, you know. Be careful. But that's it, over. But supposing you get up and you are not happy with your father for whatever reason, you had some argument, you go and kick him. Now what? What is the, is there any difference in the action? No difference. Your right foot connected with your father's left leg. If I take a video of these two actions, there is absolutely no difference between the two actions. We can even measure it and say that the exact force which was applied when I got up and I walked fast and my foot touched my father's leg, and when you got up and you kicked him, same leg, same place, same force. Is the action the same? I'll give you another example. May Allah keep you safe, but you are driving your car and you are going at the normal speed. You are not going over the speed limit or whatever. So you are going at the normal speed. There is some guy who is in a hurry. He comes out of nowhere. Say there is a car which is parked on one side of the road, and as you are, a bus is parked on one side of the road, a truck is parked on the side of the road, and as you come around that truck, a man comes out from behind the truck and hit him straight square. The man goes flying, falls on the road, his head hits the curb and he dies. May Allah keep you safe. I'm giving you an example. This happens. Next example. There is a guy who you have a problem with. You had some dispute, some fight. And one day you are going, you are driving. And as you go down the road, same exact same speed, exact same spot, you see this man coming out. And you say, this is a good chance. You say to yourself, this is a good chance, this guy, I want to get rid of him. And you nail him. You hit him square, he flies, he falls down, his head hits the curb and he dies. What will happen? These two cases, what is likely to happen to you in the first case? It's an accident. The man jumped out from behind the thing, it's an accident. At the most, if it is proven that you were negligent in your driving, in whichever way, then you will be fined. You will be fined, maybe your driver's license will get some points on it, whatever. Maximum is maybe for manslaughter, you might be convicted, you will spend a couple of months in jail or you will have a bigger fine. More than this will not happen to you. But in the second case, if it is proven that you deliberately killed the man, then it amounts to third degree premeditated murder. If you do it in this country, then you are liable to be hanged. It's not a question of fine and this. You will be hanged. Right? Now, so what is the difference between the two things? One is a mistake. I can give you any number of examples. I won't waste your time. This is enough. One is a mistake. One is a crime. Nothing has changed. Same way, if I take a video, what has happened? Exact same action. Consequences, exact same consequences. They are not good consequences in either case. Whether you killed a man accidentally by hitting him with your car or you do it deliberately, end of the day, somebody died. So, it is a bad thing which happened. But in the first case, it is not as if you killed one man. In the other case, you killed 10. No. Same one. Alhamdulillah. Same one person. Difference is, one, you did it unintentionally. The other one, you did it deliberately. The reason I am saying this is because this is what we do in our life with respect to our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us do not know that lying is haram? How many of us do not know that cheating is haram? Is there anybody? We don't know. I'm telling lies. Oh, I never knew that lying is haram. Is it true? I'm cheating somebody. Oh, but I'm sorry. I didn't know that this is wrong. Is that true? How many of us know or do not know that when you pray in the masjid, you get 27 times the reward to praying at home? Number one. Number two, how many of you do not know that the place for prayer is the masjid? So, to pray in the masjid is for, if you are praying in the home, there has to be some reason why you are praying in the home, and that reason is not something you dreamt of. The reason has to be something which is admissible as far as the Sharia is concerned. Because we have the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was so ill, one day before he passed away, when he was so ill that he could not even stand, where was his house? His house was not only next to the masjid, his house had a door opening into the masjid. So, even though he was so close to the masjid, and even though he was so ill that he could not even stand, what did he do? He got two people to carry him inside the masjid and he came to pray with the jama'ah. They say that when the two people were carrying him, he could not even support his own weight and his feet were dragging on the floor. We know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wish I would ask Bilal radiallahu anhu to call the adhan. And then I would go and look for people who were praying in their homes. And then I would ask people to collect firewood and surround his house with firewood, and I would burn them to death inside their homes. Who is he talking about? He's not talking about people who are not praying. He's saying somebody who is praying in his house. So why do we do this? Why do we pray in the house when we know that we should go to the masjid? Why do we commit a crime when we know it is a crime? There is only one reason. There is only one reason. And that reason is because we do not think that we will be punished. We do not have faith that one day we will be called to account. Simple as that. Why does a criminal commit a crime? Because he thinks he can get away. No, I mean, do you know a criminal who is absolutely certain that he will be punished and he is still committing the crime? No. Whoever commits the crime, no matter how stupid it looks, he thinks he will get away. He doesn't get away, he gets caught, it's a different matter, but he thinks that he will get away. Exactly the same thing. I know that if I pray in the masjid, I will get 27 times the reward. I know that if I pray at home and there is no excuse for that, this is not permissible in Islam. Still, I do it. What does it mean? It means I don't really believe in this reward business. I don't really believe. I mean, why would you? When the difference between Jannah and Jahannam is one good deed, one hasana, why would I leave 27 times the reward of first salah? Unless I have no faith in that. I'm only saying that I really have no faith that I will actually get 27 times the reward. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, I don't believe him. If Allah is going to give it, I don't believe it. Allah, I am going to meet Allah. No, I don't believe that also. Then tell me, what is the reason? If that is not the case, then what is the reason? Because if I believe that I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal, and I believe that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the first thing that the slave will be called to account for is salah. The first thing that he will be asked to account for is salah. If that reckoning is easy, if it is good, then the rest of his reckoning will be easy and good. If that reckoning is difficult, then the rest of his reckoning will be difficult. So, if I really believe this, then how can I leave salah? How can I not pray? How can I not pray in the masjid? No, there is either targhib or there is wa'id. One of the two things. Either there is something that you are looking forward to in reward, or at least you are afraid of punishment in a particular case. If both of these are not there, then what do you say for the action? It means there is only one reason. I don't think this will happen. That's all. Otherwise, why would... I mean, either you are afraid of the punishment, so you do something. That's not the best reason to do it, but anyway, at least it's something. The other one is you look forward to the reward. But if you are not doing that thing, it means that you neither believe in the punishment nor in the reward. So if you don't believe in the punishment or the reward, then where is the belief in that thing? So we need to question ourselves. What did Allah say about this? Allah said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Say to them, they will die. Now just think about this ayat. Why is Allah saying, say to them, they will die? قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Do you think people really in those days also, when the Quran was being revealed, when the Quraysh were there, do you think the Quraysh believed they will not die? Find me one person in the Quraysh, whether it's Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu whoever, can you find me one person who said, I will not die, I am immortal, I will live forever? Is there anybody there who thought that? Then why is Allah saying, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ? Because you are behaving as if you will not die. Nobody believes that he is not going to die. I mean, to say to somebody that you will die seems to be redundant, because of course everybody thinks they will die. No, I mean, who believes? Did the Pharaoh believe that he will not die? If the Pharaohs believe that they will not die, why were they building pyramids? Seriously, ask the question. The pyramids are proof that the Pharaohs believe that they will die. So why is Allah saying, because we live as if we believe that we will not die. So Allah is saying, don't do this. Don't live like this, like munafiqeen. You say you will die, but you behave as if you will not die. If you believe you will die, then behave as if you will die. And Allah said, you will be called to account. You will be brought in before me. So live your life. If this is your belief, then live your life where this belief is reflected in your life. And if you live your life as if you do not believe, then you will be treated as such, as criminals, not as anyone who made a mistake. You will be punished, illa mashallah, for your crime. Just because you believe you will not die, just because you act as if you will not die, doesn't mean anything. You will die. You will die. And then you will be brought to account. And that's the ayat of Surah Sajda, which you heard today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes before the eyes are open for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to Him and which is not a cause of grief for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.